today on Real Radio.
But I'd love that subtle yet I think firm prod from God when he said, what are you doing crying out to me for? Why are you talking to me, Moses? Get up and go. Doesn't that make absolute sense?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack steps aside from his topical series called You Need to Know in order to focus on some important issues that face our nation. This is to commemorate the celebration of our nation's birth from a biblical worldview. What we're going to hear was delivered within days of the U.S. Supreme Court's 2015 decision on same-sex marriage, as well as one of their major decisions regarding Obamacare and the unborn. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Why Are You Standing Here?
How many of you have immigrated to the United States? Raise your hand. You were not born here. Wow. That is awesome. I was going to ask how many of you have been here, but that would obviously mean the other set of hands. You were born here. So you either came here or you've been born here. And here's the fun thing. You've heard it from this pulpit before. We get to say this more than any other nation on earth. And here it is. Those of you who've come here, those of us who've been born here, the DNA of who we are, the DNA is that of what? I'm predominantly Portuguese, 50% Portuguese, a quarter Irish, a quarter German. What are you? You are this, you are that. There's that DNA. But the amazing thing about America and how the world has viewed it as the great experiment and how it's been labeled as the melting pot of the world is because you can't draw blood from any human being and say, oh, look, you have Americana flowing through you. You've got this marker on your DNA. No. Listen, you can be Germanic. You can be Hispanic. You can be Asiatic. You could be Polynesian. But you have to choose to be an American. That's the amazing thing about this nation. If you're here tonight and you love America, it's because, listen, you have decided to be an American. It's a decision you make. And it's unique in all the world. And we need to remember that. We need to think of that more and more. Exodus 14, we're going to talk about tonight the great heart of our God and his plan for man to be liberated. Liberty, God has placed in the heart of mankind. No matter who you are around the world, God has placed the desire to be free within the human heart. Exodus 14, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pithon, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea, for Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. And the wilderness has closed in on them. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Verse 7. Also, he took 600 choice chariots, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Isn't that amazing? So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army overtook them, camping by the sea, beside Pethahiram, before Beth-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. Listen, everybody. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 11, then they said to Moses, and listen to this. I mean, you can hear this. Because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? What, Moses, you couldn't have buried us in Egypt? What's the deal? Are we going to die out here? Why have you so dwelled with us? that brings us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, poor Moses, alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to have served the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, verse 13, he says, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And church, look, those are great words, no doubt about it, but watch. Which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, I'm sorry, this is funny. Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea, and God delivers them. He had told them, this is what's going to happen. And Moses, I'm going to use you to lead them out, and here's the deal. And they see that they're boxed in. It's the end of the road. They're going to die. And of course, what do? You start complaining. A friend of mine told me, he can tell me this, he's Jewish. He said, listen, if you get 10 Jews in a room, you'll have 20 different opinions. Isn't that great? I love that. Check out all the options. Their options had evaporated. And then they turn on Moses. And Moses speaks the truth. He says, hey, salvation's coming. God's going to do a work. Moses had that promise from the Lord. But I love that subtle, yet I think firm prod from God when he said, what are you doing crying out to me for? Why are you talking to me, Moses? Get up and go. Doesn't that make absolute sense? Sometimes we get caught up with the spiritual side of things and the physical side of things. Sometimes God does say, hey, come on, get up, move, go, go, go. I've opened the door, go. God is speaking to his people such things that look around. We can view things as too common and forget. The Lord is in this thing. God is on his throne. God is at work. So when Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I love how God just said, maybe to an angel, I told him to go, not stand there. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight on this birthday of America. Why are you standing here? Maybe God is asking you in your life or in my life. And we need to exercise, the Bible says, our faith in light of these days, Christian. Just in the last few days, tremendous things have been happening across our nation. I went to churches that are churches I know of, some churches I visited across this nation, and I clicked on their websites, and one of them, for example, I didn't know they were going to do this, but do you remember last Sunday when you were on your knees praying? We have family that attend McLean Bible Church in McLean, Virginia. Great church, Pastor Lon Solomon, a Jew who was born anew, by the way. A Jew who came to Jesus as Messiah, pastors that church for all these years, a great man of God. And I had listened to his message, and he wound up saying, you know what, our good friend at the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins, asked us to get on our knees and pray for America and join churches across America. And I wound up looking at the time that his message was when they were praying, and when first service was on their knees praying, their third service back on the East Coast was praying at the same time. That was from coast to coast, mind you. So you think of that all the way through, from California to Virginia, coast to coast, people were on their knees across this nation praying. That's unusual, ladies and gentlemen. People are crying out to God for revival. The church has been awakened. And as I mentioned on Sunday, God is dusting off his church, and the dusting is on its way more, and it's happening now, and that's a good thing. But we need to exercise our faith in light of these days. I want to remind you that the Supreme Court's decision recently to enforce Obamacare set in motion forever law, the most violent piece of legislation against the unborn that this nation has ever seen, Obamacare. I'm grateful to my congressman who in Washington, D.C. brought back, when that bill was being discussed there in Washington, he brought back, I actually have the health care bill. I have it, and he had to hire a bunch of staff to read it. But he told me, he said, I'm handing you the most violent, dangerous bit of law against the unborn this nation has ever seen right here. And if this passes, it's a bad day for the unborn. The Supreme Court said, it's passed. We declare it so. And then we saw the martyrdom of 9 Christians at Emmanuel Church in South Carolina, which sadly failed to rock our nation in some areas, in some ways. Had some news coverage, and then off the screen it went. 9 people shot to death in a church, in a prayer service. Pastor shot dead and 8 others. What's going on? And then, of course, the Supreme Court's ruling last Friday, as you all know, to overturn natural marriage, attacking the architect of marriage himself, God. So what's the answer? And where do we get the answer from when we see such things happening? The number one answer to where we go from here is what I think you already know, Christian. You're listening to the Holy Spirit, and He's already been causing you and prompting you to pray more. Some of you are out buying books on revival. Some of you are going to websites about revival. Some of you are asking me, how do I learn about revival? It's revival. God, throughout the history of America and in certain parts of the world, God has seen fit to send revival. The United States has experienced some of the most earth-shaking revivals in its history that the world has ever seen, beginning with the first Great Awakening. I made mention of that last week, but revival. What is revival? Arthur Willis, this is a good book on revival, buy it. His book entitled, In the Day of Thy Power, he writes, revival is divine intervention in the normal course of spiritual things. It is God revealing himself to man in awful holiness and irresistible power. It is such a manifestation working of God that human personalities are overshadowed and human programs abandoned. I like that. Listen to that. Human personalities are overshadowed and human programs abandoned. It is man retiring into the background because God has taken the field. It is the Lord making bare his holy arm and working in extraordinary power on saint and sinner. Revival. What happens in a revival? When you read, and I encourage all of you to start studying revival, go to YouTube and type in this name. Don't miss it. It's not going to be on the screen because I'm just remembering it now. J, the letter J, period, Edwin. Last name is Orr, O-R-R, J. Edwin Orr. Go to YouTube and start feasting on his lectures on revival. You'll be completely blown away. When revival struck New York, God poured out his spirit because people had been praying. The NYPD had to be put on leave because there was no crime, and they wound up forming something you've actually seen before. Four of the cops would get in a group, and they didn't have anything to do in Manhattan. Can you imagine? And they stood on the street corner, and they sang songs, and four-man, is that a quartet, yeah? They sang singing songs when a revival, when that East Coast revival broke out in New York, and it began to sweep through the East Coast. Things like that. Documented events when revival happens. Man is put on the back burner and God comes out front, and it's a supernatural work of God. By the way, church, be encouraged. Revival has always seemed to come historically when things seem their worst. Listen, that's a great thing for you to fall on your knees tonight and accept Jesus Christ. You want to know why? No matter how dark it gets, he'll never leave you. Our God shows up in the dark. Our God shows up and shines when it's the worst. And the amazing thing is, too, he's actually put a little caveat to that. He's actually reserved, regarding his sovereign showing up, he's reserved a little bit of a helpline where we can say, God, please come, and he'll listen. You can't bring about a revival. God does that. He begins to stir hearts. But he does respond to prayer. The Great Awakening, the first Great Awakening in the United States, as I mentioned on Sunday, Jonathan Edwards, as he began preaching to the colonies, what a lot of people don't realize that before that revival broke out, Jonathan Edwards' prayer team at his church had been praying for revival for 5 years, faithfully, every week. What is revival? Sovereign work of God. God intervenes. So don't answer out loud, but are you willing and are you desiring for God to intervene in this nation? Number 2, when does revival come? It comes when God's people cry out, yes. It comes sovereignly by God. But it always comes when there's a great need. A great need to turn back to God. And I believe we're in that moment. Listen, I'm usually very pessimistic about things. Now, that may bum you out, I don't know, but this is the way that I am. I want to know all the bad news first. I want to know it. I don't want to play games. Just give me the bad news now. And then let's talk good news later. But just hit me now. And listen, here's the thing. God is waiting. And he is so loving, and he is so kind, and he is so desiring to hear from this nation of believers to cry again to him, that we don't have to have things get any worse than this. If we begin to see our sins, my sin, your sin, our sins, as having disgusted God enough and put Jesus on the cross. Listen, did you have an arrogant thought today, or did you have a lustful thought today? Did you have anything today that was sinful today in your life? Listen, Jesus died for that on the cross. So what you want to do as a believer, though Christ paid with his blood the debt for all sin, we want to live for him. We want to glorify his name. We don't want to do the sinful thing. We don't want to do the bad thing. And we cry out to God, and we don't have to, as a nation, go down any darker. God could send revival. And he may be speaking to us across the nation now. Call out to me. You don't have to go any further. I'll deal with Iran. I'll deal with Russia. I'll deal with China. God might say, listen, cry out to me, and I'll deal with your borders. You know he can send one angel to take care of the borders. ISIS, the fear of ISIS, supposedly now already here in the United States. The NASA Security Agency, FBI, CIA, Homeland Security, they're already here. And they're the highest level of threat since September 11th, 2001. Who's going to protect us? The Bible says God will protect us if we lean on him for protection. Amen. We need to see God move again in this country. And I believe he wants to move. How sad would it be that we would not invite him to move? Thirdly, how does revival come? Again, it comes this way by God, and he begins to start out. All revivals start out so small. When you read and learn about the history of revivals, it starts usually out with a group of people or a service somewhere, usually prayer. Prayer seems to be the thing that precedes the outbreak of revival, and it begins to spread into church, then to churches. Revival, by the way, listen, you guys, revival is not the salvation of the lost. Never. Revival is what it means, revive. You know what revive means? It means that which was once alive is brought back to life. It's when the church begins to live again. Then the ungodly are saved. Then the lost are found. Because the church becomes so radically attractive. She's so dynamic and spirit-led and powerful and loving and holy and pure and will not tolerate sin, but at the same time, absolute loving by God's love and his standards. She's the church alive. And listen, people give up. We know this historically. We know this, the nation of Israel in the Bible. And we know it even here in America. I'll tell you what freedom is not. Freedom is not calling good evil and evil good. Freedom is not mistaking sin for freedom or mistaking tolerance for righteousness. This freedom that God affords us this night is a freedom. The very concept of freedom is from God. God is the God of liberty. He's the one that led Israel out of captivity to do what? To set them free. God is not, listen, God does not delight in slavery of any sorts. If man imposes slavery and the gospel comes into that community or in that nation, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, if any of you are slave owners and you own a slave and now that you're a Christian, then treat them kindly, treat them lovingly. That's interesting, huh? I read this day that some guy was blasting George Washington because he owned 200 slaves. Listen. Then you start digging around history and you find out something about George Washington's slaves that he owned. First of all, he inherited them. He tried to set them free and then realized that if I set them free, they would probably starve to death or be chased down by others, so I'll treat them good. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, you ain't going to hear this in public school. General Washington, even into his presidency and to the time of his death, had with him a young man by the name of William Billy Lee. And Washington taught him how to dance. Washington taught him how to live. Washington taught him how to farm. George Washington taught him how to ride a horse. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? He was a black man. And Washington refused to have him be called his slave. People would say, that's Washington's slave. And so Washington would say, that's my valet. On George Washington's death, William Billy Lee was set free, and he inherited half of Washington's wealth, which at the time of his death, listen, Washington was worth $500 million our money today. $500 million our today. Washington. And here's the thing. Upon his death, all of his slaves were set free. Because he couldn't protect them any longer. He couldn't provide for them anymore. You think of that for a moment. And it was in their hearts to answer God's response to freedom. This is a freedom that God has placed in the human heart. Why are we standing here? Moses asked, or I should say God asked Moses, get up and go. And I want to encourage you tonight on this nation's birthday that the time has come for us to no longer stand in one place. God has called us to stand, but we need to move on. We need to press on. Because the Lord might say to us tonight, because it's time to seek the Lord. Why stand ye here? It's time to get up and seek the Lord like never before. To exercise our freedom. Thank you, God, that we had the freedom tonight to gather for a church service, for example. Thank God that we had the freedom to go home. Thank God. But listen, God would have us use these and exercise these freedoms. I want you to hear this. First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The exercise of religion, faith. Our Constitution, in its First Amendment, says the state will never create a state church, a state religious system. Oh, and by the way, we will never infringe upon your worship. That's the law. And here's what I'm saying to you tonight. Moses might speak to us, or maybe God would speak to us tonight and say, why are you standing? Get up and go. Exercise your freedoms. We are guilty. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. So much we have lost in these last, 10, 15, 20 years. We've lost so many freedoms because we didn't even know we had them, and we didn't even go to look to see what we had. We were cruising on our laurels, as it were, and we've lost freedoms that if we as a people would have spoken up, we wouldn't have lost them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Are You Standing Here? It's to commemorate the celebration of our nation's birth from a biblical worldview. And we'll continue with more of Why Are You Standing Here on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you have not visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org lately, you really should when you get a chance. Reallifewithjackhibbs.org is a great resource. Just one visit and you'll know what we're talking about. You can access just about anything connected to Real Radio, previously aired Real Radio programs, real life videos, real life devotions. Of course, you hear us mention those from time to time. You can get in on our special offers and Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month and a whole lot more. So once again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.